A Christmas cruise has abruptly ended with disgruntled passengers transported back to land after the Coral Adventurer ran aground on a coral reef off PNG at the weekend. If the name Coral Adventurer sounds familiar, it's the same liner that made headlines in October after an 80-year-old woman was left behind on an excursion to Queensland Lizard Island. When the mistake was discovered and search crews returned, the woman, who had been feeling unwell, was found dead. That death and the grounding of the Coral Adventurer are under investigation, and the incidents are raising renewed questions about crew safety, oversight and accountability. Dr. Tim Stevens is a professor of international law at the University of Sydney Law School. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, these incidents, as we said, are under investigation, so we're limited in what we can say about them. But how surprising or unusual are each of these incidents?
Well, they're quite unusual. The cruise ship industry generally operates, you know, mostly trouble-free. But when difficulties arise, the real challenge for customers, for consumers, for passengers, is that they can be entering a pretty murky legal world. Now, in the case of this particular company and this particular cruise ship, it's actually much more straightforward than most cases involving cruise ships, because in this case, this ship is an Australian registered vessel. It's owned and run by an Australian company that's operated out of Australia. So all the jurisdiction is fairly straightforward. Passengers can turn to the courts of Queensland to resolve any disputes that may arise. So It hopefully can be resolved in a fairly easy way. But that's not the case if you buy a ticket on board a cruise ship that might be registered in Liberia, where the company might be, you know, owned and operated out of the United States. And so when you step on board, your rights are not as clear as they might otherwise be.
How quickly can investigations and any penalties, though, occur? I believe this was the Coral Adventurer's first trip out again after that terrible incident where the woman was left behind. How reassured should people who have booked, forward booked with that liner be?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Barbara, and I guess ultimately that's a question for the operator. But interestingly, again, because this is an Australian flagged vessel, an Australian registered vessel, it means that the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has jurisdiction over it, and also the Australian Transport Safety Board as well, or Bureau. So they're able to investigate what has happened, and the ATSB has already commenced an investigation. AMSA, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, has detained this vessel. So authorities are able to act very quickly where the vessel is an Australian registered one. And I guess if you are a consumer, if you're a passenger, you should take some reassurance from that. And you may wish to prefer Australian carriers over international ones, because you know at least Australian authorities can do something about the situation if things go wrong. It's still the case, however, if you look at the fine print, that these companies do seek to minimise the extent of their liability as far as possible. So this particular operator, for instance, says you must have travel insurance, and they will otherwise not cover or be on the hook for liability. So again, buyer beware. Very important, before you step on a cruise ship, know exactly what your rights are and have as much travel insurance as you can possibly afford to cover for things when they go wrong.
And if the vessel is not Australian registered, you're subject to the laws of whatever country it's then registered in. Australia has no say in that. Is that the case?
That's generally right, yeah. So if you are an Australian, you board a vessel that's registered in a foreign country, that vessel might get involved in some kind of difficulty on the high seas outside of Australian waters, then the extent to which Australian law, Australian authorities can have any oversight over that is very, very limited. Yeah, your rights are far more limited, and you'll have to look very closely at the terms and conditions for your contract of carriage to work out where you might go. And the contract may well say, well, this contract is governed by perhaps English law and you'll have to go to the English courts to resolve any dispute. So yeah, it's again, just be careful before you purchase a cruise ship ticket to know where your rights are.
Of course, the cruise industry does sometimes get bad press, as it were, most notably, I guess, here after the death of the Australian woman, Diane Brimble. How well regulated is it as an industry?
So the regulation really relies on the state of the vessel, where the vessel is registered. So again, Australia can regulate Australian registered vessels, Australian flagged vessels, but it can't really regulate the cruise ship industry as a whole because most vessels, the vast majority, are registered in other states. So yeah, we rely on those states, we call them flag states, to do the right thing to regulate the industry. But what happens in practice is that cruise ship companies will seek to register their vessels in jurisdictions that may not be as robust and as interested in careful oversight of the industry as, say, Australia is. And that means that it does become a murky legal world. You can fall between the gaps and you may not be able to get the compensation you deserve if something goes wrong. And we saw this during COVID. If you remember, during COVID, a whole heap of people were stranded in vessels in various ports around the world, and it was extremely difficult.
Tim Stevens, sorry, thank you. We'll need to leave it there.